Well, as you may have noticed, as we're into the season of Easter, that the lectionary is a little bit different for these next few weeks, primarily in that it's lacking an Old Testament lesson. And it's not that the Old Testament doesn't matter, as I'm sure you all are aware, but it's rather with the resurrection of Jesus came the church. And so the lectionary has us spending time in Acts, which is the history book of the early church. And that's what Acts is. It's a history. Now, it's not the same kind of history that you may have taken when you were in university or even in high school. It's looking at things from a different perspective because, well, it was written 2,000 years ago. And what was historically necessary was different then compared to what it is now. And as I was looking at the lectionary and where we're going to be for the next few weeks, I thought, I think this year we will spend some time in Acts. And we could go in a couple of different directions, and one of the ones that leapt out to me, of course, was we just have a series of historical lectures on the book of Acts, which would interest me and, I don't know, possibly one or two other people. Even if it interested all of us, that's not what church is about. We're not here to have lectures as much as we are to hear what this text, written long ago, says to us today. And there's nothing wrong with just studying the history of the early church, and obviously we'll pick up some of that as we talk about these various readings in Acts. But as I was looking at the texts for the rest of the season, I was trying to come up with something that would, in a sense, sort of make them hang together or give us a focus almost, if you wish. And the thing that popped out to me was that the book of Acts is sometimes described as a gift to the church. And that made me think, are there gifts in these various readings for us? And there are. So for the next couple of weeks, next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the gifts of Acts. This is about the closest I've ever come to a sermon series of the more conventional sort. I occasionally get asked, you know, do you preach sermon series? And I say, yes, I do. It's called the lectionary. People understand it immediately. Those who don't, it's impossible to explain. So I usually just leave it there and we move on to other subjects like football or something, or politics. It doesn't cause as many problems. So what's going on in this story in Acts? It's one of the most dramatic stories in Acts, one of the tremendously dramatic story no matter what. Saul is breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He's on his way to Damascus, which is a key city. Damascus is on trade routes. If the way, as it was called then, if belief in Christ takes a foothold there, who knows how far it'll go, except for Saul and the Jewish leaders, it would go too far. So he was on his way to Damascus to put an end to it. And on his way there, he's knocked off his horse. Brilliant light. Jesus talks to him, says, what are you doing? Saul goes, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus, the one you're going to persecute. He's struck blind, the rest of the story proceeds. A dramatic story, to be sure, and worth telling just because it's there, but does it have a larger connection? Does it have something that we can connect with? Well, it does. When we look at the story of the church, when we look at the New Testament, we have the four Gospels, because the placement of the first five books of the New Testament is fairly important. The three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are put together. Then John, which is always also a Gospel, but is different than the other three. And then Acts, which is the second half of Luke's writing. It's a different book, but it's the second half. They're both written by Luke, to the best of our knowledge. And when we look at what's going on there, the Gospels are all stories about Jesus. Acts begins with Jesus leaving. First part of Acts, we have the disciples all gathered. Jesus says, I'm out of here, and disappears. Appears to go up into the sky, perhaps like a rocket, where you follow it with your eyes until finally it's gone. We don't know exactly what happens, but Jesus is gone. Well, think of what kind of a crisis that's going to cause to anyone who's wondering what's going on. Because up until this point, every connection that people made with God through Jesus came through Jesus or through his immediate disciples who then brought Jesus to you or you to Jesus, as the case might be. But he's gone now. And he's talked about the Holy Spirit, of course. He's talked about what will happen after he's gone. But is it not impossible, or perhaps even likely, that the disciples began to think, well, I guess that's it. Nobody else is going to encounter Jesus again. And then Saul does. Saul has a dramatic encounter with the living Christ that is as undeniable as Thomas was when he met Jesus after the resurrection, as undeniable as any. Different, of course, but still an authentic encounter with Christ. And this is perhaps the first gift in the book of Acts, is a reminder that even though Jesus has left physically, his corporeal presence is no longer with us, he is still encountering people anyway. Paul's encounter, writ large and dramatic, demonstrates that such things can still happen. That Jesus will still interact with regular human beings just like us, even though he's left. The mechanics of the encounter are different. Saul needed this kind of dramatic, out of the blue, miraculous kind of encounter. I've often thought, and I think I've mentioned it before, but I've often thought that God demonstrates how much he cares for us by how willing he is to reach out to us in ways that we will accept. And I've heard it said, and I think with a certain amount of accuracy, that Saul wouldn't have heard anything else. This was somebody who knew exactly what he believed, was very capable in his understanding. If we want to move him into our current context, this is somebody who has not just one PhD, but more than one PhD in the things that he believes and understands and thinks are valuable. And so for Paul, to make that transition to where he became known as Paul, he needed something more than what most of us need. And he got it. Some people have suggested that this is all just made up, and what really happened is that he got struck by lightning, which I suppose might explain it, but there's a voice that is still sort of slipping by there somewhere. This person needed this particular kind of encounter with Christ, something undeniable, something extraordinary. And he got it. But was he the last person to encounter the living Christ? No. We all have. Every single one of us who has a relationship with God through Jesus has had an encounter with this living Jesus. It quite possibly was not as dramatic as Saul's. Very few are. Very few people have had a vision or even a physical encounter with Jesus. I've heard of them. I have not had one. I've had visions, but not like that. Is our encounter any less real than the encounter that Saul had that transformed him into Paul? No, it's not any less real. It is exactly the same. Because when we look at this encounter, anybody can say something has happened to them. Anyone can say anything about anything. That's just the way people are. If we want to know whether something's actually happening, we look for evidence. And what's the evidence of an authentic encounter with Jesus? It's a transformed life. Saul looked this way before the encounter, and he looked that way afterwards. He was changed, dramatically changed. And in his case, it happened over a period of 3 days. Everybody who saw him thought there was something different, to the point where they said, wait a second, isn't that that guy who was doing this other thing completely different? There was something completely different about Paul.
But when we look at ourselves,
particularly for those of us who came to this relationship with God when we were a little bit older,
when we look at ourselves and we look at the way we were before and the way we are now, are we not transformed? Are we not transformed as dramatically, if not as instantaneously, as Paul was?
And for those of us who came to this relationship with God when we were young and we didn't have adult experience before that, we're not looking at just what we were like before. Look at where we are now compared to where we were a year ago, or 10 years, or 20 years ago. Are you not more of who you were created to be now than you were then? Do you not know God better than you did then? Are you not more the person you want to be now than then? Not all of this can be ascribed to just aging, to just maturing as a human being. Some of it, I suppose, can be explained that way. But the dramatic differences in who we are take more than that. Because people who are selfish, who are self-oriented, don't become generous and other-oriented just through a process of evolution, of maturing into it. Something needs to happen to help them realize that that's not the way to live anyone's life and not the way they should live their life. And that's just one of the many ways that we look at ourselves and we see, I am different now than I was in the past, however far back you want to go. And I can't ascribe the really significant changes to my own desires to become a better person. Because until that encounter with Christ, I didn't want to be a better person. Well, I didn't need to be. I was fine. Thank you very much. That's how most of us think. Before we have an encounter with Jesus, does it need to be something that is so dramatic that we're blind? That we're knocked flat? That the people around us see what's happening? Maybe that would be nice. Maybe that would be convenient, in fact. It's a little bit easier if you can point to a particular dramatic incident that begins a life change. But the fact that you can point to one or that you can't isn't going to change what people see in you on an ongoing day-to-day basis. Are you being transformed? Then yes, you have had an identical encounter in the reality, if not the details, as Saul did on that road to Damascus. Jesus has reached out to you because he loves you enough to not leave you where you were and change you into the person that you were created to be, and that you're realizing now you actually wanted to be, but didn't know how to get there before. We look at the book of Acts, and we're going to be looking for gifts coming out of it, for things from the stories in Acts that aren't just back then in history, but have a fundamental and profound impact on us today, and this is the first one. That we can all have an encounter with Christ. Possibly not as dramatic as Paul's, but what is more dramatic than any encounter that changes your life? Think back to the way you used to be, however far back you need to go, and hopefully for most of you it's a long, long time ago. But think back to how you used to think. Think back to what you used to value. Think back to where you used to go to find your self-esteem, your sense of self-worth, and see if it's changed. Because it has. Because it's impossible to encounter the living Christ and remain the same. Paul was just one of the most dramatic ways that's changed. But all of us have people in our lives who knew us then and will say, wow, I can't believe how different you are now. Because of that encounter. Most of us, maybe even all of us,
didn't need to be knocked off a horse or whatever happened on that road to Damascus. Most of us, possibly all of us, were open to hearing God's call upon us through the tremendous gift of perhaps godly parents, or the gift of friends who took us to church when we were younger or older, whatever it might have been. The gift of people who lived a life that we wanted to live and were open about how they got there. The gift of people who talked about their own relationship with God through Jesus that had turned them through the power of the Holy Spirit into better people than they would have been otherwise. That's a transformation. That's a transformation as miraculous as Saul to Paul. And it's open to all of us. Every single human being has the opportunity to encounter the living Christ and begin that process of transformation that will continue for our lives and be perfected at the end of all things, whether that's for us or for everyone. But we all have that encounter. When Jesus left this world in a corporeal sense at the beginning of Acts, no matter what the people then thought, no matter what we might think now, we were not left alone. We can still encounter Jesus, and we have. It's changed who we are, and it will continue to change who we are, changing us from, as Paul says in another place, from glory into glory, that we might become the people we were created to be, that we might become equipped to do what only we can do. We will be able to exercise those spiritual gifts given to all of us to change the world in ways that are just for us. And if that isn't a gift, I don't know what is. An opportunity to live a life that's better than it would have been otherwise. And a life that has eternal ramifications in the things that we do. What could be better? Acts isn't just a dry old history of what happened way back then. It points us to who we can be transformed by and who we can encounter even now. Jesus. Amen.